everybody. Hannah Stanley filling in for Patty Vasquez. This is her show, Pretty Late. But tonight it's Pretty Late with Hannah Stanley. And sitting with me already is my friend, Johnny Olesinski. You know him, you love him. Former theater writer of the Chicago Tribune, now entertainment writer for the New York Post.
I'm back.
You are back. And I'm thrilled to welcome you back in studio. And here's a thrill. Don Norton is with me. He is doing news with me until, I think, what, 12:30?
A little after midnight. Then Roger slides over into this chair.
Seriously, I could not think of two men that I would rather get to do and have do news during a show that I'm hosting. This is so exciting. You and I get to hang out at the Hawks game not long ago.
How about that?
And that was exciting. But this is our first time that we actually get to host. Get to work together.
This is exciting. And that was the Hawks game where we watched the Cubs game. Remember that?
Yes. That was also the Hawks game where I became Mom of the Year in the eyes of my children because it was a school night and I took them to I took them to the game to sit in the suite and they got to watch the Cubs game.
That's so cool.
And they were like, I'm exhausted. And then they're like, but we're so excited, we can't sleep.
And both teams won.
And that both was teams won.
Great night.
It was fantastic. So, Johnny, here is what we were going to talk about briefly. Mm-hmm. And I open this up for text. 312-981-7200 is the call-in or text line, and that'll be the same throughout the show. So write it down because you can use it as often as you want. You wrote an article earlier this year that landed you on Fox and Friends, that landed you, it was an article or would you call it a column? I would call it an article.
I'll call it a column.
Okay. basically said that millennials suck and you're a millennial and you would know.
Right. I call this the lousiest generation.
which I love. How viral on a scale of cat riding a Roomba being mm-hmm. the high and a post about my new curtains, like where on that scale of virality would you post that article, your column?
Let's say it was like a colony of cats that's taken home in new curtains.
Okay, because this became a very big deal and you became instantly hated by all millennials who weren't you.
That's right. Unless they were my friends before I wrote it.
Right, because you had already voiced that opinion. Why exactly do you feel, and then we're going to take a quick break, but why exactly were you so passionate to write an article about millennials being the lousiest generation?
I sort of got tired of, say, being at a bar and having my friends tell me, like give me the laundry list of why they were in their current predicament. And being a gainfully employed person mm-hmm. who went to a state school for right. theater, not for, you know, I didn't train to be part of the evil media. I trained to be part of the evil theater.
Right.
And everyone would tell me all the reasons why they didn't have a job or why they were unhappy. And it seemed to be they were blaming everyone but themselves. And I thought you need to take some ownership for your situation.
It's very interesting, given what has happened and transpired nationally since you wrote that article, that it really does seem to be kind of predictive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're kind of dealing with a tidal wave of wine right now, which is fine.
With an H,
if people voted that they're more than entitled to wine or celebrate as much as they want to. But certainly the overwhelming amount of my Facebook feed tends to be people around my age, and the majority of that is, it's like a funeral.
We were at Fakesgiving, which is what I call the night before Thanksgiving when mm-hmm. we have dinner at my brother's house, because then he spends Thanksgiving with his in-laws. So we do Fakesgiving, and my brother is a millennial mm-hmm. and denied it until I Googled the age range, the years of dates for being a millennial to prove to him. And he's like, but I'm not. It was really funny. And I'm like, well, you're not my generation.
Well, and being a millennial, and I tried to explain. So one of the great things about being a newspaper writer is generalizations are great fun to make.
Right.
You know, and people go, well, I'm not like that. And totally, I believe that you're not like that.
Right.
But there's a lot of different organizations that stare at data and make conclusions based on what they see. And the way I do it is I try to intersperse some jokes, some levity.
It was lighthearted.
I had a great deal of fun writing it. So when the deluge of Twitter insults, and seriously, I had to like silence my Twitter for a day because it just became...
Here's my favorite part is that they all wanted to complain in 140 characters or less.
I know. Write me an email. I'll publish it. Seriously.
That's what they were afraid of. Here's what we're going to talk about next. We have amazing theater coming to Chicago in the next year, mm-hmm. in the next calendar year. You've seen all of it.
Yeah, a lot of great Broadway tours are coming here.
Right. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're also going to talk about those pesky end of year lists.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a fan.
You hate them.
I do. I really dislike them. I find them so lazy.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to do that after this break. Hannah Stanley filling in for Patty Vasquez tonight on WGN with Johnny Olesinski. You can find him and tweet him about how you don't like his articles at Johnny OMG. Next on WGN. I hope that's tomorrow. They've already played the Sixers. I'll come back and read the other one that I could have read. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Patty Vasquez on WGN. It is the Pretty Late Show. It's Pretty Late with Hannah Stanley. By the way, Johnny Olesinski is here with me. You know him, you love him, from the Chicago Tribune now with the New York Post, and he's home. He's home for Thanksgiving, as so many people are. They travel.
A friend just texted me and told me that I sound sleepy. And I'm deeply offended. Weird. I don't feel sleepy.
That's so millennial.
That's so millennial. Come on.
We were just referring to an article that Johnny wrote months and months ago in June regarding millennials being Generation Why Bother, which is the headline of the article, which landed him in a whole bunch of hot water with his other millennials, and then ended up on the homepage of Fox News, which made me laugh out loud. I'm not gonna lie.
I know you told me when it happened.
like holy mama, there he is. A year ago, I would never have predicted you would have been on Fox News homepage. So here is what you mentioned earlier, that you were a theater major.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the theater 5 out of 7 nights a week?
Just about.
Yeah. I'm always like, God, he's there again.
Well, when I lived here, I used to see maybe 200 shows a year.
And now you're in New York and you're seeing about the same amount.
Right. I see everything on Broadway and the best of off-Broadway.
Okay. So, as you know, we've got a while until the Tony Awards, and I'm still going to ask you for your early picks.
We do.
Doesn't matter, because I want to go with you, and that's just something subliminal. I'll just lay out there.
Get your outfit ready.
Oh! Okay, so here's the thing. In Chicago, we have some fantastic, fantastic, people will know these shows, mm-hmm. opening in Chicago. Many have been here before. I'm going to run through them really fast. Rent. This will be like the third or fourth time it's been staged big.
I love Rent. The great thing about Rent is...
seen it 525,600 times.
Exactly. and normally with tours, you know, after they've been running a few years, the costumes and sets start to shred a little bit.
Right.
Well, with Rent, that just makes sense.
That really just plays in.
You know? Because their clothes are already pretty
it's
gnarly.
It's shabby.
Yeah.
Shabby. Beautiful has already been here, which is the Carole King story.
I love that show. That's just about the best of the jukebox musicals.
Okay, and so when we do that, we're talking Jersey Boys and Mamma Mia. And
I don't like Jersey Boys. I'm one of the few. Never been a fan.
I loved Jersey Boys.
Did you?
Yeah.
Are you like a Frankie Valli?
Yeah, I think it's great.
Devotee?
Not necessarily, but I thought the story was well developed, and I just thought I liked the music.
I remember when I went.
Grew up with the music with my dad playing it on the radio.
So I won't take that emotional memory away from you. But I remember I went with my dad, and we sat in the balcony, and as we were leaving, and this was very surprising for him to say, he said, So, Jonathan, that was theater light, right? I went, yeah, Dad. Theater light.
Okay, that's understandable. Les Mis, which I have seen many times staged here, big staging here, mm-hmm. in Chicago, and one time I hated it. the other times I loved, but one of the times the staging was so off compared to the other times. I was really.
Was it a tour?
It was a tour.
Weird. Well, yeah. I mean, some tours are really bummer tours.
Yeah, it was not a good one. But that's opening in October. Hamilton, of course, has an open run. Mm-hmm. Thank God, because you can't get tickets.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
And I hear this cast. Everyone that I know that has seen it in New York and here tells me this cast is better. So, take that as you
that,
will.
I just did a double take. So that's... that Phantom, again, this is like the 12th staging here.
It is, but it's that they kind of redid it, right? So Andrew Lloyd Webber and Cameron McIntosh wanted to spice up the staging, similarly to how Cameron McIntosh changed the Les Mis staging a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just like the same old we're all walking down the staircase.
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Of your past.
Okay.
Yeah.
King and I know that this has been here because I saw Yul Brynner in The King and I when I was a little girl
mm-hmm.
at Eyrie Crown Theater.
Though I worry, so I hope it's great. It's from the very acclaimed Broadway revival. But there was just a King and I at Lyric, too. So I don't know if has Chicago had enough? Or will they?
Obviously not.
No.
Yeah.
An appetite.
All right. Here are the shows that are new. Mm-hmm. And I did mention Hamilton. It falls kind of across both. Aladdin. They're pushing pre-sales hard. I've gotten multiple mailers.
Well, I know it's done extremely well in New York, despite some critical notices against it. But, if you like the music of Aladdin and you like kind of a big splashy spectacle, I think it'll be your thing.
All right. So is it going to be very true to the movie?
Yeah. It's not like, for example, on Broadway, Anastasia's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And from my understanding, Rasputin is no longer the villain.
What?
So Jafar is still the villain of Aladdin. Good. Don't you worry.
Whew. All right. Finding Neverland.
I was mixed on Finding Neverland on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
There's a handful of good sequences, but for the most part, the music is kind of music by committee.
Okay.
When I saw it, I don't know who's playing J.M. Barrie now, but mm-hmm. it was Matthew Morrison at the time.
Of Glee fame.
And dry as the desert sand, I'll tell you. You just like wanted some personality and it wasn't there.
The one I really want to see is Hedwig and the Angry Itch.
Fantastic.
That opens in March, people.
I don't know who is playing Hedwig here. When I saw it on Broadway, it was Darren Criss. And Darren Criss
touring.
He's played it on several stops of the tour. And he was great and very funny, sounded great. It's, most of the times I've seen Hedwig, they're in these, like, dingy bars
mm-hmm.
or kind of gross productions, which is great, too. But this is the splashiest Hedwig you'll ever see.
All right. Very good. Curious incident of the dog in the nighttime.
Whether you've read the great novel or not, it is a fantastic play. And it's a great play for families.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of shines light on autism, which few theater productions that I'm aware of have done, and does it in a kind of sensitive but gritty way. I was sitting, the first time I saw it, I was in the back of the balcony on Broadway, second preview, and I was sobbing.
Really?
And usually back there, it's me at my most cynical. So I was surprised at myself.
That is very interesting. I did that once to see Bronx Tale.
Oh.
As a one-man show, Chaz Palminteri
mm-hmm.
sat in the back row. I went to the matinee. I snuck out at lunch
mm-hmm.
when I was working full-time. I was like, I must see the show. And just wept as I slunk back to work.
Well, are you going to come visit me in New
yes,
York to see
to
Bronx
see the
Tale,
staging.
The musical?
Yes.
Co-directed by De Niro.
No, I'm so excited. We're going to talk more about this and things that you need to spend your theater dollars on, including some local productions. That's going to be next 2 minutes until news. Hannah Stanley filling in for Patty Vasquez on WGN. Hannah Stanley, it is it's me filling in for Patty Vasquez tonight. I'm pretty late. I will be with you until 2 a.m. Sitting with me right now is Johnny Olesinski. You are an entertainment writer with the New York Post, but you are from here and you are formerly of the Chicago Tribune. And we have been talking about Broadway plays as Don Norton just reported. Fidel Castro is being reported, and everyone is now reporting on this, that Fidel Castro has passed away. Breaking news, if anything related to that comes in, we will, of course, get to you as soon as possible. Don will be on that story,
yeah,
continuing through the evening. Thank you. And then we will probably talk a little bit more about that later. Johnny, you have some other, we went through all of the sort of, literally the Broadway in Chicago openings, mm-hmm, that are coming in the year. For those who have a theater budget, me, and those listening, theater tickets are a great gift. I would love somebody to go, we're going to see Beautiful. And I would say, yes, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. Where would someone put their best theater dollar among those shows? Because we're going to get to the other ones.
Well, so I think Beautiful is a great option. I was surprised to have liked it as much as I did. And before I saw it, I wasn't like a huge Carol King fan. I knew her music, mm-hmm, but I didn't know much about her. And I had such a good time. And I brought my mom. And I know people that have brought their parents multiple times to that. So that gives you an idea of how happy they will be,
okay,
if they get
all right,
that as
so
a gift.
Gift for mom and pop. Okay.
You want to be cool. You want to be really cool. Bring them to Hedwig. Mm. You know, not great for young kids. Unless you're young kid, I'm not judging anyone's parenting styles here. That's not what I'm here to do. But it's, let's say it's a higher end of the PG-13.
It's edgier.
Yeah, it's a bit edgier.
Okay.
But a super loud, it'll wake you up if you're, you know, a matinee lady. You'll have, yeah, a great time, I swear.
Okay, promise that I will enjoy that. There are a few other smaller theaters or, mm-hmm, or more localized theater that you wanted to make sure we mentioned as well.
Yeah, some. So right before I came to my old home here at Tribune Tower, mm-hmm, I was over tonight with my friend Magda at Chicago Shakespeare Theater for their production of King Charles III. And what King Charles III envisions, weird on this night, that Queen Elizabeth II has died. And Prince Charles, who's not very well liked by many people, has to step up and become king. And then he takes what the monarch is allowed to do and does a few political things that really angers the public.
Interesting.
And you have Kate Middleton there and Harry and William. So if you're a big like royal watcher, it's a great play for you.
Okay, this is something that I would enjoy.
Right. It's like if you like reading the Daily Mail when you wake up, you will like King Charles III.
I might or might not subscribe to the newsletter. And I'm obsessed, and not in a I need to be on a watch list kind of way, but those children are lovely and beautiful and sweet and precious, the babies, George and Charlotte.
Well, I don't know if Kate Middleton is dressing little Prince George or what, but whoever is doing it is doing a bang-up job.
He's just... You just want to hold him.
Those little knee socks?
Oh,
come
God, he's
on.
Precious. I know. It's adorable. And she just seems to be incredibly approachable and handling things so well.
They're great. You know, a lot of people think that they have humanized the monarchy a bit. I love Queen Elizabeth. And if you haven't watched The Crown on Netflix, get on it.
You know I haven't, and I will get on this. And if I can't sleep when I get home, I'll start it tonight.
I hope so. I mean, yeah. add it to your Netflix queue.
It's going
to
be on the queue. I'm a big fan of the Lyric Opera.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had Scott Ramsey on, who is trained through the Lyric and was talking about multiple productions there. They have great things coming.
They do, and I'm thoroughly envious that I'm not here for them. I'm back for Christmas. I'm hoping I can catch these with all of you. I'm excited for Don Quixote,
mm-hmm,
which is the Massenet version of Don Quixote. So if you like Man of La Mancha, you know, I am Don Quixote, the man of La Mancha.
Yes. God, I've sung, and I apologize. That's the second time I've sung tonight. That's not going to happen again.
Trust me, that's the first time I've sung in years. And that will be the last time that happens. But it runs through December 7th. It has a great bass that I love, Ferruccio Frillinato. Truly excellent. I remember seeing him in Simone Boccanegra some years ago and was blown away. So highly recommended.
Okay.
And then they're also having a completely new production of The Magic Flute. And so unlike Julie Taymor's, you know, here is a, you know, something that looks like the never-ending story flying above your head. this is a little more Chicago style, right?
Yes.
You have these people that are, it's kind of ragtag, scrappy, found props. I hear it's just totally magical.
All right. Tell me what would be a great bet for introducing kids to the theater.
Introducing kids to the theater.
Because I will tell you, by the time I was the age that my that my children are now, mm-hmm. my parents had taken me to see everything. We'd gone to see Annie. We had gone to see Carol Channing in Hello, Dolly. I had seen The King and I, as I mentioned. So I feel like I'm kind of doing my kids a disservice by not taking them to the theater. But I'm not. It's very expensive. And I want to make sure that it's something that they're going to be touched by.
So my first experience as a kid going to the theater was the day after Christmas, and my mom took me to the Marriott Theater to see Bye Bye Birdie, which I looked up, and at the time that was reviewed by Richard Christensen, and I'm very excited about that in retrospect.
At the Marriott Lincolnshire?
Yeah, okay. And I remember them singing Kids and Adults and being in their little, like, weird square set.
Yeah, that was an odd set.
You know?
Yeah.
But what I think the thing is with kids in theater is you have to accept that maybe they won't walk out being totally elated.
Okay.
But it might ignite a little spark. So, you know, Aladdin might be good for that.
Okay, yeah.
Because it doesn't necessarily have to be. I don't think you need to bring kids to high culture. Why would you? You know, because they just will, you know, zone out and fall asleep.
Like, I could see one of my children just full on digging opera.
Really?
I could. It's calming. You know, he could read the super titles. The music is lovely. I could see that. I could see the other one just like, for reals, like, when are we gonna dance?
With opera, I think people fall in love with the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Also, how often do you get, you know, a pit orchestra of 100 people playing for you for 2 to 5 hours and the best singers in the world?
It really is remarkable. I became friends with an opera singer and was then allowed to go to multiple productions. Scott Ramsey, who was on the show the other night with me when I filled in. And it really, there was one that I didn't like. And if it had been my first opera, I would not have been excited about opera. Luckily, it was like the fourth opera I went to, and I went, this is not to my liking. I won't see this one again.
Can you give me a code word for what that opera is, or are we keeping the opera a secret?
It's not here.
Okay.
We'll just say that it's not here currently, and I'll tell you not to go in the future. But Lucia, I loved Lucia, L'Amour, which was just here. We are going to come back and do one more segment, a couple more things that we want to touch on. But first, I'm going to get you guys to a quick break. Fidel Castro, if you're just joining us, it is being confirmed by multiple sources, and we are reporting it as fact. Because of that, Fidel Castro has passed away, and we will bring you updates on that story as they become available. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight, Johnny OMG, which is his Twitter handle, Johnny Olesinski, joining me in studio. And then John Duffy will be coming up right after midnight as well. And that's right then on WGN. We'll get you back. Enjoying that. Hannah Stanley, I'm filling in tonight. I'm pretty late for Patty Vasquez, who is off. She will be back with you guys on Monday, and I will be with you tonight until 2 a.m. If you're just joining us, Fidel Castro has been reported to have passed away. We have been reporting this as confirmed by multiple other news sources, and we will bring you updates as they become available. Which reminds me of that old Saturday Night Live sketch where...
which one?
I'll have to look it up, where he's like, Fidel Castro is still dead. But it wasn't Fidel Castro because he wasn't dead at the time.
Right.
Never mind. Anyway, Johnny Olesinski joining me in studio. You'll be hanging out for a while, but John Duffy will be in studio after midnight. And we're going to talk about multiple things, including seasonal depression and how this is a hard time for many people. Mm-hmm. But first, let's talk about Broadway. Johnny is a former theater writer for the Chicago Tribune and now New York Post entertainment writer. And I dare say you see more theater than pretty much anybody.
Well, when I was at the Tribune, I wrote about Strictly Theater, and mm-hmm. that was all I did, you know, five
it
nights a week.
It was your job.
Right. It was my job. And so I'd be here in the tower all day, and then I would go see a show every night. And that was great. though now my job is more theater, movies, music, comedy, all sorts of stuff. So I do still end up, I probably see like 60 or 70 shows a year. That's still more than...
You've done 60 or 70 in the past few weeks.
That's probably right.
I would think. So tell me what's coming on Broadway. We briefly touched on Bronx Tale, which is one of my all-time favorite movies. Mm-hmm. It's one of my all-time favorite one-man shows, which is how it originated.
Right.
Which is Chaz Palminteri based it on a true story. And I just saw it staged at the Arcata in St. Charles and was lucky enough to sit in a Q&A mm-hmm. afterwards when he actually talked about how based on real life it is. And it's really based on real life.
Yeah.
And it's about to be staged as a musical.
Yeah, now it's a full-blown musical. They tried it out, I believe, at the Paper Mill Playhouse mm-hmm. in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And it is co-directed by Robert De Niro. And when am I going to say that again about
right,
a Broadway
ever.
Show? I won't be.
He's trying to EGOT. Let's just put it out there.
And he probably won't, but
he might
if he'd like to. Maybe. And that's opening next week. So we'll have all the critical
I've literally
verdicts.
Just been invited to the premiere or to the preview, whatever.
By me?
By you. And I don't know if I can get there because it's Wednesday. But regardless, tell me what else is opening and what people should, if they're going to go to New York, what do they need to see?
So first, a show that just opened that I demand everybody see is a strange musical called Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812. So first I will tell you.
All right, here's the deal. The last time you said this to me about uh-huh. some strange musical, it was Hamilton. So I believe you.
Okay.
But tell me why.
So it's a strange description, right? So it's based on 70 pages of War and Peace. Stop falling asleep, Hannah. Wake up.
Seriously, you said this to me 2 years ago about Hamilton.
Right. If I would have told you that there was a musical based on Ron Chernow's biography of Alexander Hamilton,
right.
Would you really, and it's hip hop, would you want to go? No.
No, because you told me about it and you went, no, for real, it's really good. I've seen it. You had at the time, I think, seen it twice already. And mm-hmm. I was like, no, I can't buy into this. The guy's on the $10 bill. Whatever. And it's a wrap.
So I've seen this show 6 times.
Oh, good Lord.
And they've turned a Broadway theater into like a Russian supper club. The walls are lined with
red velour,
these giant portraits of old Russian men. And the cast is running through the... Josh Groban stars in it as
okay.
Pierre. He's excellent. Absolutely excellent.
Now I'm ready.
And he does whole scenes in the balcony. Like, it's that immersive, right? I thought it was one of the most special Broadway experiences
I've
ever
had.
Right,
now I need a second night in New York, so I got to leave Monday. Okay, let's go.
So,
tell me more. I'm just making notes.
So, and then coming up, a show that I loved off Broadway that I think will vie very seriously for the Tony Award for Best Musical is called Dear Evan Hansen.
Okay.
Dear Evan Hansen is kind of heavy. It stars Ben Platt, who people might know as like the lovable misfit from Pitch Perfect and Pitch Perfect 2.
Mm-hmm.
And he is sort of the bullied guy of his school.
Mm-hmm.
And a kid at his school kills himself and leaves a note. So Evan Hansen is right. His psychologist tells him to write these notes to himself every day to pick himself up, right?
Okay,
like, so imagine if I were dear Johnny Luxinski, today is going to be a good day. He does that with Evan Hansen. And someone finds this note and thinks it's the boy who killed himself, suicide note, that he's writing to Evan. So all of a sudden, everybody wants to be friends with this kid that was totally ignored. And that is
And it's a musical.
It's a musical. It's kind of, it reminds me a lot of Next to Normal, which, you know, is a show about, a musical about depression a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's told with rock music.
Okay.
And in this, the music is better. And he is giving a performance. He's a little younger than me. He might be, I think he's like 23 or 24.
Mm-hmm.
He will almost certainly win the Tony for Best Actor.
Here's the thing with you. I believe it. Because I swore that you were crazy town when you told me about this little thing called Hamilton that you had seen off Broadway. And then I went, okay. And then it changed musical theater. So, all right.
Can I tell you one super obscure thing?
Yes.
Well, there's this little known actress named Bette Midler. Have you heard of her?
Bette Midler?
Right.
from
it's hard.
Seinfeld?
It's
yes.
It's hard to pronounce.
Yeah.
She is going to do the role of a lifetime in Hello, Dolly.
She's playing Carol Channing's role?
She is.
She's perfect for
it. She's going to do 8 shows a week for months this spring. That's the kind of thing you fly into, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know? I can't wait. I mean, she's a comic genius, and her voice hasn't changed a bit for 30 years.
Well, and that's the thing, because she still has the strength to project. Mm-hmm. She's not, I mean, you know, she's not down in Gatlinburg. You know, this is, she can still sell it out. And she is better known probably for being a singer than she is an actress, even though she was an actress.
But, you know, her first gig after... possibly before she did the bathhouses was in Fiddler on the Roof.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of the daughters in Fiddler on the Roof. And then she took a long break from Broadway. She did a play a couple of years ago about Agent Sue Mengers called I'll Eat You Last. Did not get a Tony nomination. That was like a big to do, but she
so
will
much
for this.
Drama in theater.
So much
drama.
I mean, it's like 10 city blocks of New York. You know, we talk about it like it's, you know, it's Hollywood, but it's just a bunch of bickering.
It is surprisingly small. Mm-hmm. And the theaters are surprisingly small.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're totally small. And
they're not like going to the theater here.
Well, here it's a barn, right? So most of the theaters here, we're talking 2,500 seats, 2,700 seats.
With magnificent, gorgeous, Baroque-inspired lobbies.
Oriental Theater is amazing. Even inside, right? You have these like kind of wood-carved sides. That you don't get on Broadway, but you do get a more intimate experience. It's similar to the Bank of America Theater, which is not called that anymore. It's called the Private Bank Theater.
Of course it is.
It gets more soulless by the day. You know,
it's very private.
But
don't
that,
tell anyone you're here. Don't tweet about it.
That's right. You need a password. That
you
one
jam
is
your phones.
That one's closer to a Broadway theater, and that's why I'm glad that Hamilton is there. It was Book of Mormon was there as well. If anyone saw that,
mm-hmm.
And you do feel a little more like you're closer to the actors as opposed to when we all saw Wicked, which was great at the Oriental Theater. But you know, you're kind of like waving to Elphaba like, you know, it's the president in a parade.
Okay, which I'm glad you mentioned that because Book of Mormon was fantastic, really, really good. But the Disney, Aladdin we've just referenced,
mm-hmm.
We know Frozen is coming. When I saw Frozen the movie, it's coming to Broadway. They're working on it now. It takes a long time. When I saw Frozen in the theater, I thought to myself, they've already staged this. They like the way the music was laid out. I knew where the intermission was going to be.
Sure.
I knew. I was like, oh, it's a movie that they made so they can sell more tickets to the Broadway show that they're planning mm-hmm. about Frozen. I just saw Moana. Same thing. It's perfect.
Well, and the music is by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Right.
Who, you know, grew up in like the best Disney composers, right? So when you talk about Alan Menken, and Howard Ashman, before they wrote Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid, they were writing Little Shop of Horrors. They know how to structure a show, and that is one of the reasons Little Mermaid, by the way, is at the Paramount Theater
in
Aurora.
Dean Richards is actually going to be doing either a giveaway. I think you can go and see it with him at the same time. So yeah, that's a thing.
And people are telling me that
it's really good.
And after so many bad stagings of The Little Mermaid here, including the one on Broadway, which was by an opera director and maybe a little excessive, that this is finally a good one.
Oh, so that would be a great one to take the kids to.
That'd be great for the kids. And you know, a lot of people, the Paramount Theater, I'm very proud of it. Because they only started doing their own shows while I was, you know, working here. And they're really top tier.
They're top tier and it's easily accessible,
mm-hmm.
which is fantastic. And another lovely, lovely place to go.
Oh, it's a great house.
Beautiful theater.
You know, old and historic. And there's, you know, great things to do in downtown Aurora.
Yeah.
I always liked going there. It's much – I also like going to the Marriott and the Drury Lane Theater. But, you know, if you go to downtown Lincolnshire or Oak Brook, we're talking Cheesecake Factory every time. Nothing wrong with that. I love the avocado egg rolls.
Sure. It's fantastic.